Techonomics on KGO 810. On this week's edition of Techonomics, an edition that also welcomes our robot overlords, artificial intelligence. That's a phrase that stirs concern among most of the world, from digitally tracking our movements to predicting which clothes we might like to buy to parking our cars and ordering our food. But the worry about artificial intelligence taking away all our jobs is the least of our worries, at least according to Elon Musk.
We should be very careful about artificial intelligence. If I were to guess at what our biggest existential threat is, it's probably that. I mean, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon.
Techonomics host Jason Middleton talks with a futurist who is also an optimist, who sees the coming artificial intelligence revolution as a new version of the industrial revolution. Also this week, a young entrepreneur who aims to make unfamiliar airport terminals as easy to navigate is calling an Uber. Finally this week, another look at the gig economy. Just how many people are finding more than one job to help make ends meet and make their lives happier by doing so? All that and a little more on this week's Techonomics on KGO 810.
Welcome to Techonomics. I am your real-life host, Jason Middleton. But what if I was your artificially generated host? If self-driving cars are just a four-way stop away from hitting the road, can self-hosting shows be very far behind? Films have highlighted artificial intelligence for decades, from Fritz Lang's Metropolis about 100 years ago, to the Terminator franchise, which threw in time travel for good measure, to Blade Runner, a personal favorite, and to the recent movie Ex Machina, though that title is a little too much on the nose, if you ask me.
Do you know what the Turing test is?
It's when a human interacts with a computer. And if the human doesn't know they're interacting with a computer, the test is passed.
And what does the pass tell us?
That the computer has artificial intelligence.
When it comes to artificial intelligence, there's the creepy factor. But a more prevalent fear is the unknown economic toll artificial intelligence could play. Will robots take over the workplace, putting us all out of work effectively? Well, Google, Amazon, Apple, and others, of course, are building toward the horizon line of mainstream artificial intelligence. Google, for its part, says it always keeps, quote, a human in the loop, end quote. And while that's definitely nice to hear, the fact that it even has to be said is a clue to just how high the trepidation is around mainstream artificial intelligence. This week on Techonomics, we have a Silicon Valley soothsayer, technologist, evangelist, and author all in one person. He also co-created Wired magazine. Kevin Kelly has written several books on the tech sector's impact on society and the economy. And his new book offers 12 chapters on 12 keywords we all may want to be researching as we move closer to our daily, even hourly, even up to the minute interface with artificial intelligence. Should we worry? Will we have jobs? Does AI dim a human hope or accentuate human possibility? Here's part one of our forward-looking chat.
Yeah, I'm Kevin Kelly. I'm Senior Maverick at Wired Magazine.
And you have a new book out, Mr. Kelly, one of a shelf of books, The Inevitable, Understanding the 12 Technological Forces That Will Shape Our Future. Inevitable is a big word, and I noticed that you kind of give that a soft definition. Can you give me the working definition as you were going through the book?
Yeah, it's a red flag word, too. A lot of people say nothing's inevitable and that we really, as humans, have total control of our fate. But I think that technology in its large trends and large form have recurring patterns, and those recurring patterns give a kind of a lean to technology in a certain directions. So the specifics, the particular products are completely unpredictable. Nobody can decide what they're going to be. But the larger trends are inevitable, and I would say something like the telephone was inevitable, but the iPhone was not.
So during your YouTube talk that is online, I noticed that you differentiated between something that you call out in this book, The Inevitable, which is artificial intelligence, but to kind of soften it, you compare artificial smartness with artificial intelligence. Can you help me tease that out a bit, please, before we move on?
Yeah, when people hear the term artificial intelligence, they have a lot of associations with it. So it's kind of a cultural baggage. They sort of imagine, you know, a HAL 9000 or something that's very human-like talking to them. And most of the artificial intelligence that will be in our lives in the coming decades is not like that at all. And I think a better way to think about it would be as artificial smartness, in the way that today, right now, your calculator is many times smarter than you are in arithmetic. It's a very specific and narrow kind of smartness. Or your GPS is much smarter than you are in spatial navigation, or Google is smarter than you are in terms of recall. Those are all different kinds of thinking. And a lot of what AI will be doing is it'll be exceeding us in certain dimensions, because our own intelligence is not a single dimension like IQ, which is a very wrong idea. It's actually much more broad, multidimensional, much more complex.
You know, in Silicon Valley, if you're not paying for the product, then you are the product. Is data collection the new currency, and how does that move forward in these, as you broadly stroke it, in the inevitable 12 technological forces that shape the future?
Many people say that data is the new gold. It's what, or the new oil. It kind of is what drives the digital economy. Often the information about your customers is, in some senses, more valuable than the customers themselves. And the biggest companies in the world today are those that sit on the most data, like Google. By the way, as we get into the future and we start to have virtual reality generates even more immense mountains of data. And I suspect that in the future, the biggest companies in the world will be VR companies, because they're going to be sitting on the most data. Who owns that data is sort of not really clear. I was one of the founders of the quantified self movement, which is this idea that you track yourself, you know, with Fitbits and things like mm-hmm. that came along later, the Apple Watch. There's hundreds of other devices that are coming along where there are tiny sensors that you can either wear in your clothes or wear in your wrist or wear in your pocket, and they will track medical information or how productive you are. And the issue of over who has stakes in this information, is it who can share it, what's the legal ramification, what's the privacy aspects, are completely in flux right now. We're still figuring that out, and that's going to be kind of the battleground of the future.
I'm glad you mentioned virtual reality. It's a great pivot into something I want to ask. But first, we are speaking with Kevin Kelly. He is a longtime leading thinker about technology and its applications to society and the economy. The Inevitable is his new book, Understanding the 12 Technological Forces That Will Shape Our Future. You mentioned VR in your previous answer, and just this week, you mentioned Google as well. You mentioned Amazon, of course, Oculus Rift with VR too. I'm looking at a Fitbit that I'm wearing. I have the Blaze. You probably have an Apple Watch or something similar to that, given your quantified self. And I'm wondering, is this like the toe in the water to help us all get more cool, if you will, with AI moving forward?
There's multiple reasons to have all this data, that we're collecting. And there's several innate human desires that are very hard to satisfy. And one of them is to be treated as an individual. We all crave to be special, to be unique, to be somebody different than other people. And we want not only our friends to treat us that way, but we want companies and even governments to treat us as an individual. And the way we have to do that today, when we are connected digitally, is that information about us has to be communicated. And so if we want a company or government to treat us as an individual, we have to kind of in some ways reveal ourselves to that party. And tracking is one of the ways that we can do that online, in the sense that we have to have our actions in some ways conveyed to them. And so quantified self is a way that we can self-track so that we can better understand ourselves, so that we can understand our own personality and our own uniqueness. It turns out that our own medical histories, our own bodies, are actually very unique, and there's this kind of medical population average, which is not our average. And so our average temperature or our average blood pressure or heart rate can only really be determined by measuring it all the time. And in the same ways, our own unique interest in films or reading or something really has to be tracked in order to be conveyed. And so that's why we're doing all this tracking, is really so that we can satisfy our interest in to be unique individual.
We've been speaking with Kevin Kelly. His newest book is titled The Inevitable: Understanding the 12 Technological Forces That Will Shape Our Future. And we're not talking about a future that happens after we colonize and populate Mars, by the way. We're talking about a future that, for the most part, is already around us. In part two of our discussion with Kevin Kelly, we'll look at how taking ownership of what we share and embracing that choice may be the best defense against robot overlords, and for continued human choices and destiny.
There'll still be mom and pop restaurants, but there'll be new ways to eat as well. That's what technology gives us, increasing choices.
This is Techonomics. I am Jason Middleton. Please come on back after this short break.